and none of which I will preach from. So, in lieu of that, I will be preaching today from our Psalm of the Week. And the Psalm this week, I don't believe in coincidences. Little bit of a radical in that sense. Even the smallest things, I thank God, and I say thank you. And this one, I definitely said thank you, because I looked at this week, and I looked at the passages, and I saw it was Father's Day, and I saw the Psalm of the Week is my favorite psalm in the whole book, Psalm 91. So, I will be reading to you right now, Psalm 91, and if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, it's page 497. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. There we go. Thank you, guys. Well, it is Father's Day, as we've said a few times. What that means is, by law, I am required to start this sermon with dad jokes. It's got to happen, all right? So, what kind of lights did Noah install on the ark? Floodlights. That's right. Floodlights. All right. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? He was ruthless. There we go. Ruthless. And I did have a good joke about road construction, but I'm still working on that. And there's the wave. There you go. All right. So that's fun. That's a fun part of Father's Day, right? The cards, the jokes, the hugs, the little traditions. And I'll be upfront with you, I love Father's Day, right? In my house, it's an incredible day. Like, I have an amazing wife, I have three amazing kids, and they make it one of my favorite days of the year. But Father's Day is also one of those days that can carry a lot more baggage than the calendar suggests. For some, it's a day of gratitude. It brings to mind a father who was present and steady and loving. And for others, it brings grief. Some miss a father who's died. Some still carry hurt from a father who was absent or harsh or unsafe. Some fathers feel the weight of their failures, and some men wish to be fathers, but are not. So when the day is good, it's very rarely that simple. For the last 23 years, this day has carried a lot of baggage for me. My father died when I was 13 years old on the day before Father's Day. But I can look back. I can look back and see that God did not leave me unfathered. Through coaches and teachers, church elders and mentors, God has showed up with correction and encouragement, wisdom, and care. He showed me that I had a father. And that's how Psalm 91 speaks to us. It doesn't give us this sentimental picture of life. It doesn't pretend that the world is safe or that faithful people will never get hurt. It gives us something better. It gives us shelter. God does not promise that his children will never see trouble. He promises something better, that when trouble comes, they will not be fatherless. When Scripture calls God Father, it's not asking everyone in the room to start with their father on earth and then look up. We don't define God by earthly fathers. We define fatherhood by God. He's not the bigger version of whatever you had here. He's the father from which all true fatherhood comes. Luther says beautifully in the Small Catechism, where he talks about the Lord's Prayer, and he says, when Jesus teaches us to pray with the words, "Our Father," God is tenderly inviting us to remember that he is our true father and that we are his true children. And so when fatherhood is good, we should honor it. When a father, grandfather, coach, teacher, elder, pastor, any faithful man steps into our lives with steadiness and care, that is a real gift from God. God fathers his children through men who are willing to show up, who reflect the father's care and give signs of the shelter that he promised. But they're signs. They are not the shelter themselves. We see in our text the real shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Notice it doesn't begin by saying that the world is safe. It begins by saying that there is a safe place in a world that is not. Those words we see, shelter and refuge and fortress, are telling us that there is somewhere to run to, somewhere to stay and be covered when we're too small to cover ourselves. It's interesting that in the first two verses of this psalm, it calls him the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord and my God. Four names for God in just two verses, showing us that this is not some weak platitude or a positive affirmation that everything's going to be okay. It's telling us that the one who shelters you is above every threat that can come against you. The one who covers you is strong enough to be your refuge. And he gets very honest about life. He talks about the snare of the fowler, the deadly pestilence, the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the destruction that wastes at noonday. In other words, it shows us that God truly knows what kind of world we live in. There are dangers we see coming that we can name. There are dangers that we don't know are happening until they hit us. They keep us up at night, free of explanation, and yet the psalm still says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. Fatherly care, strong enough to defend, tender enough to cover, and close enough that you're not left standing alone, trying to gather up the courage to face the world yourself. The trouble is very real, and so is your Father. And that's where I believe we tend to misunderstand God's protection, because we hear shelter and we assume and we want it to mean that none of those hard things ever reach us. No life-altering diagnosis, no chronic pain, no life-changing phone call in the middle of the night. But that doesn't seem to be how God's protection is shown in Scripture. We recall the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were not kept away from the flames. They were thrown into a furnace that was hot enough to kill the guards that took them there. It was a real threat. That was real fire. But the king looked in and saw a fourth person standing with them. Israel, leaving Egypt, was not spared the terror and the real threat of the Pharaoh's army chasing behind them, only to come to a sea in front of them. And yet they were brought through it. God made a way where there was no way. The comfort we're given is a father who's with his children in a world that could still be dangerous. Scripture is very honest about it. We see in the Bible, it gives us those three men in the furnace. It also gives us John the Baptist in prison. It gives us bold apostles preaching in the town square, preaching at the temple. It also gives us Stephen praying for those throwing stones at him as he is put to death. God's protection is real, but we can't read Psalm 91 and think that it means that nothing bad is ever going to happen if you just trust God enough. There's a much deeper promise here, because we see at the end of the psalm, God himself speaks and says that when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With him in trouble. And that promise is strong enough to comfort God's children, but like every promise of God, it can be twisted when it's pulled away from faith and turned into a test. The devil knew this psalm very well. If you've heard it before, you'll notice that whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan takes him to the top of the temple. And he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. It's kind of strange hearing the devil quote the Bible, but there he is quoting Psalm 91 to the very Son of God. He's trying to twist the Father's promise into a shortcut. Prove that the Father loves you. Prove that he'll protect you. Just skip all the suffering. Force the rescue. And Jesus refuses. He doesn't use the promise to avoid the cross. Instead, he trusts the Father in the wilderness. He trusts the Father when he's rejected. He trusts the Father in the garden as he prays, not my will, but yours be done. He trusts the Father all the way to the cross because he is the faithful Son. And at that cross, he entered the deepest trouble for us. He carries our sin bears our death, goes to the place where we had no shelter in ourselves and gives himself as our shelter. And the Father raises him from the dead. And so the Father, when we say God fathers us, we're not talking about this vague idea again that maybe things will work out. Maybe if I just trust a little harder, if I just do a little bit more, it's going to work out. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went into that trouble and came out the other side through resurrection. And because of him, his Father is your Father. Because of him, when trouble appears, you are not fatherless. And that's what it means to be fathered by God. And so today, when we honor fatherhood, without pretending that Father's Day is simple, we can give thanks for the men who showed us something true, and we can also bring the hurt left by men who didn't. We can hold gratitude and grief in the same hands. But even the best earthly father is just a sign, not the shelter himself, because Christ has brought you into the shelter. He's placed you under the wings of his Father, and he's made his Father your Father. And so hear this promise. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The trouble is real, and so is your Father. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you are our refuge and our fortress. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of fatherhood and for the men who reflect your care. Where this day is joyful, please receive our thanks. And where it is heavy, Lord, meet us with mercy. Keep us under your shelter. Remind us that we are not fatherless, and show us your salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise.